This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Gedvach. I want to begin by thanking Dr. Nudman and Rabbi Ephraim for all that he does, and all the chever from the shul, the anhola, and the chaveirim. That's every minute of the year. And I also want to thank the sponsors, who's helping all those who are in need of refuah. Should be exclusive for Shlaima for them and for all of our Yisrael who are in need of that. I begin every Slichas, every year. I believe this is already our 26th Slichas, if I'm not mistaken. I begin every year the question of where are we now? Echan anachnu, where are we now? The Sfarim say, and I begin with this every Slichas, the Sfarim say that this moment that we're in right now is called Sha'arayich Yerushalayim. It's called the gate entering into the holy city of Yerushalayim. These days, Yom Leroyim, Sukkos, Shemini Atzeres, we're entering into that place in time. And the whole year stops, and everything that we're doing stops. And here we are again. Sadly, there are some who were here last year who are not here. But Hashem's people, Am Yisrael, is here. But I want to zero in on a particular place. Really, geographically, it's far from Yerushalayim. It's connected in a very deep way. Vehi b'yom ha'shlishi, batilbash Esther Malchus. And it was on the third day. Batilbash Esther Malchus. And Esther Malka put on her royal clothing. V'tamarid b'chatzar beis ha'melech ha'pnimitz. And she was standing in the inner courtyard of the palace, Neichach Beis HaMelech, facing the palace, the king's chamber, V'HaMelech Yoyishev Al Kisei Malchus B'Beis HaMalchus Neichach Pesach HaBayis. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the royal palace, Neuchach Pesach Abayis, facing the entrance of the palace. That's where we are right now, facing the entrance to the palace. And Hamelech, the king, is sitting on his royal throne. And we're here again. Now, everybody here knows that there are many mishalim, there are many ways we find in Tanakh and Chazal to describe the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, between Hashem and each one of us and a Jew. There are many different ways. Avinu, our father, Malkeinu, our king. But of all of the Mishalim found in Tanakh and in Chazal, the deepest and the sweetest, and many times the most challenging and painful. Is a husband and wife. The ish v'isha chasnan kala. The whole sefer shir. The whole sefer shir shirim is that marshal. That marshal which is kodesh kadoshim, which is the holiest of all that is holy to us, which takes us into that place of the Beis HaMelech, into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. So I heard this something very, very beautiful from a beautiful Jew. He didn't tell it to me, but a student of his heard it from him. It happens I'm close to this student, and I'm close to this Rebbe of his. This particular Jew, this Mechanech, has become attached to a great tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the schusim of his life, which he has told me about, is that for whatever reason, he is the one who is the designated driver. And he drives this tzaddik all around Eretz Yisrael, to give shiurim, to give brachas. And it happened not long ago that they were on one of their journeys, that this person was driving the tzaddik. And they were on the highway, somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, and there was silence in the car. And the tzaddik asked his student, this Jew, the tzaddik asked him, "Ma ata choshev karega? Ma ata choshev karega? What are you thinking about this moment? What's on your mind this moment?" You know, any of us who have ever been asked that question, it's very disarming. Because what's on your mind could be nothing or something that's not worth saying. So then you try to come up with something and it's obvious that it's not real. But sitting with this tzaddik, he couldn't fake. So he said, "Ben, that Rebbe, really, Rebbe?" And the Rebbe said, "Okay, yes, what are you thinking about this moment?" So the chassid driver said, "Ani chashavti ech she'ani lo mevin madu ha-Rebbe ohev oti. Honestly, I was just thinking about how I don't understand, Rebbe, why you love me. I don't understand why you love me." And the tzaddik said, "Do you want me to tell you?" And he said, "Yes." So this is what he said. "Agid lecha, kol hachasidim sheli, all of my chasidim," and he has many, "all of my chasidim, kasha omrim shir hashirim, when they say shir hashirim, all of my chassidim are very, very religious, who come from an extremely religious background, and were raised a certain way. And when they say Shir Hashirim, whether it's Pesach night or before Shabbos, when they say Shir Hashirim, they immediately think about the Nimshal. The Nimshal meaning they think about Hashem. They think, as they're saying these psukim, they're thinking about the Nimshal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval kasher ata omer shir hashir, However, when you say Shir Hashir, Atam Yad Chashev Al Yisha Shalcha. When you say Shir Hashir, you first, in that split second when you say the words, you're first thinking about your wife. And then afterwards, you try to think about Hashem. And that's why I love you. That's what he said. First, you think about the moshel of your wife. And then you think about the nimshel, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the tzaddik was saying is that we're so used to hearing those words, Chalas ahav ani, I'm lovesick. Ani ledoidi vidoidi li, I'm for my beloved. Mashcheni acherecha narutza, draw me to you, draw me to you. I'll come running after you. We're so used to hearing those words in that context of what they represent and what they mean, that we have forgotten that the nimshel can only be meaningful, can only really be meaningful to you if you're living in the mashal. If you're living in that mashal, if you're zoche to live a life, a husband and wife, if you're zoche to live in that mashal of ani ledoidi, and those words are words that have a metzius in your life, and those words are honest words that come from your mouth that you could relate to because of how you feel about your wife, about how you feel about your husband, so then it's possible to cross over into the world of the nimshel, of what they represent in our relationship with Kadosh Baruch. So let's talk about one of the mishalim of love. This is found in one of the Sfarim of Rav Schwartz, the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, this marshal. Everything that I'm going to say now, Diburim Pshutim Ma'od, very, very simple and straightforward Diburim. The marshal of the wife in a real Shir Hashirim Dikya marriage, one of the greatest pleasures that a woman has, I'm not saying on their behalf, but this is the teva that Hashem made, that one of the greatest pleasures that a woman has is appearing in a way that is attractive and beautiful to her husband, dressing a certain way and appearing a certain way. That is one of the greatest pleasures that a woman has in that marriage of Shir Hashir. Vatilbash Esther Malchus, this woman who is so tsanua, who is so modest. But when it comes to that relationship with her husband, Vatilbash Esther Malchus, to wear those royal clothing, to appear beautiful in his eyes. Hashem Yisbarach created the woman with that natural, healthy instinct. And therefore, it's very, very painful. It's very, very painful when a woman does not feel that she's attractive anymore. You'll have women that will practically kill themselves working out, not because of medical issues, but taking care of themselves and their appearance so that they could come in that way of a tilbash esta malchus, to be moitzei chen, to be bachent in the eyes of the husband. Halacha recognizes this, as you all know. Halacha recognizes this is something which is very important. And the Rishonim and Achronim discuss at length the heter that we find in Halacha for the Kala, means within that period of time that she's a Kala, to wash her face on Yom Kippur, which we're talking here about, according to many days of the Raisa, to wash her face on Yom Kippur, Kadesh L'tesgana al Bailas, you know, that they're just, they're newlyweds. So the Baruch Shalom wants to give this marriage a chance. So Kadesh L'tesgana al Baila, that she shouldn't be unattractive to her husband. Halacha permits this forbidden rechitza, washing, on Yom Kippur. So that she should find chen, grace and beauty in the eyes of her husband. We know that in Halacha, it's a sugya in Shabbos and other places in Shas, his snarl of fun of the mitzvahs, that we do mitzvahs, that Halacha wants us, the Torah wants us to perform mitzvahs in a way that's beautiful. A talis snar. The talis should be a beged malchus, should be royal, should be beautiful, should be clean, fresh, beautiful. That the lulav and an esrog, that a sefer Torah should be beautiful, should be bachent, should be charming and beautiful. This mida is called tiferes. The kohen, the kahana bechlal, and the kohen gadol in particular, the begadim, the shmeina begadim, the eight begadim of the kohen gadol. You know that a mechusa begadim, that a kohen gadol that serves, and he's missing some of this beauty. If he's, you know, you have Jews that walk around all the time with their shirts out. The kohen gadol walks. If the kohen gadol walks around a little bit sloppy, and he just is not taking care of himself, a mechusa begadim is chayiv misa. It's chayiv misa. Because if you really, really, really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to have a beautiful Sefer Torah. You want to have a beautiful shul. Look at this shul. This is beautiful. You want to have beautiful Big Day Shabbos. Vatilbash Esther Malchus. Now the Baruch Hu doesn't, the Baruch Shalom is a very pneumistic Rabbi Shalom. Like he's into internal, deep things. And L'chara, one could say, and this is usually the thing that the guys with their shirts out say, it's like, what does the Baruch Shalom care about such a thing? Why would Hashem Zbach cares about appearances? How a person looks? It seems to be so shallow. It seems to be so uncharacteristic of the Creator to care about such things. But when there's a kesher of chas and kala, when there's a relationship of chas and kala, you want to look good. You want to appear beautiful. You want that there should be a Metzias Chayim. Vatilbash Esther Malchus. This mitzvah of Zekheli Va'anveya, Isnor Lefonav B'mitzvahs, of being beautiful, being beautiful Jews. Is an absolutely astonishing sign that Hashem wants you and I to relate to in a real way, in a plain, simple, physical way. Of how we're chasen and kala, kodesh bricho and kneses Yisrael. So now let's see what Rabbi Yona has to say. In Shari Tshuva, in the first Shari Ois Membeis. And here's where we go back to what I said a few minutes ago, that sometimes the fact that we're chasen kal with Hashem causes us to feel sad and to feel a little bit pain. Rabbi Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, Ki yitochen liyois ha'ovay nislah. A Jew sins against Hashem. Yitochin liyesa ova nislach. And the person asks for forgiveness. Slichas. Slach lonu avinu kichaton. And whatever the halachas are, he follows. He regrets. And he's committed to trying to change. And he admits and acknowledges his mistake. And the sin is forgiven, Rabbi Yonah writes. Ki yitochen liyosa ova nislach. V'nifdim min ha-yisurim mikol gzeir. And because of that, because the person has officially done tshuva, he is acquitted, and therefore he does not have to undergo chalila, any suffering, or any gzeiras. But ve'ein la'shem chefetz boy. But still, something is not right. He still feels that ein la'shem chefetz boy. That Hashem is no longer in love with him. Ein la'shem chefetz boy. U'mincha li'yetz miyodai. And therefore, whatever offerings, whatever gifts he's bringing to the chazan, to Hashem, the feeling that this Jew has is layirza, that the chazan, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't really want these gifts. He's marichel and he's salayach, he forgives. Because the person did tshuva. And officially he's off the hook according to the program. He's off the hook. But what's still missing, Rabbi Yonah is saying, Adayin chaser, what's still missing is that feeling of Nesiyas Chayim. That feeling that I'm beautiful in his eyes. Tova ani be'enav. That I'm beautiful in his eyes. That everything is the way that it was at the beginning. Before I did all of those unattractive things. And in the marshal of this world, what Rabbi Yonah is saying, we understand. That in the marshal of this world, if the wife, Chalila, did something to damage that relationship, that's not the usual mahalach, but in this Torah that we're learning now, if the wife did something to damage the relationship, say Chalila, she was spending time, Chasma Chalila, with somebody else. There were things that took place that never ever should have taken place. And she begs his forgiveness. And he worked hard on it, and he is marchel. And she says, really, are you marchel? And he says, I promise you, I'm marchel, let's forget about it, let's just start again. But she feels she'eino chafetz bo. She feels that it's not the same, and that he no longer finds her as beautiful as he once did. That nesi is chayin. There's no way to understand that, to explain it. Only a chasan kala, husband and wife, understand that. That nesi is chayin, when it's missing, causes unbearable pain to this woman. Ad kidei kach, that the stipler, Zecher Tzadik B'Kosh Levracha, wrote in a letter, that when a woman feels unloved, when a woman feels that her husband no longer loves her, he writes, Kroiver l'sakonis nefashas. The stipler wrote this. Do I have to translate that? Kroiver l'sakonis nefashas. It's ki'ilu, her life is in danger. Her very existence is in danger. Nafshi cholas avasach. Because that's her existence. You know, children say very cute things and sweet things, and they bring down all kinds of baskols and nevuas from Shammai. So I hear different things coming through my grandchildren. You know, when you have the children, you're just so busy being annoyed with them and just trying to survive that you can't really pay attention to too much. You're not hearing the bus call so much. It's just getting the car ready. Did you brush your teeth? Did you say Kriya Shema? But for the grandchildren, it's a mechai. Since officially, at least from, I guess, from a guy's perspective, or from this particular guy's perspective, I don't have to do anything. Not anything, just to make them laugh and to, like, you know, hug or something like that. Nothing. Nothing substantial. Nothing like that. So because of that, I'm able to hear everything. So Shirley told me about Shana Malka. We heard something very, very beautiful, very sweet and very innocent. A couple of weeks ago, the children took, the grandchildren, all the kids got together. And they took their kids on a trip. And part of the trip was to go to the amusement park. What would it be without going to the amusement park and endangering their lives? So they went to the amusement park. Now, Sully is here. He could say it better. I only heard it. Sully told it to my wife. I heard it from my wife or from Chani. I don't remember. Or from Chani. I heard it from Chani. That Sully sitting with Shana Malka and they're on the roller coaster. Now, she was never on a roller coaster, so she doesn't know exactly what that is. So I guess they got to a very scary part, like when you're on top, and then all of a sudden, it makes that dip. And I guess Sully could correct me, but what I heard from Chani was that Shana Malka was holding on tight to her father and said the following, "Whoa, Daddy, I'm really not supposed to be here. I'm really not supposed to be here." And then a second time, right? Then they came back up there again. "Whoa, Daddy, I'm really not supposed to be here." How many times during the Yocheved could we say that? "Whoa, Daddy, I'm really not supposed to be here. Whoa, Daddy, I really shouldn't have said that. Whoa, Daddy, I really shouldn't have seen that. I really shouldn't have done that." So the Yiba Yom HaShlishi, and it was on the third day, which is the Mid of Tiferes. Tiferes. The third day is Tiferes. Chesed Gvur Tiferes. Beauty. Charm. Grace. ויהיה ביום השלישי ותל בששת המלכוס ותמד בחצר בית המלך הפנימס נויחך בית המלך והמלך יושב על כיסא מלכוס. That's where we are. And what we're saying right now, as we stand frightened by that opening that's facing the royal chamber of the king, the gate of Yerushalayim, what we're saying is, Rabbeinu Shalom, we're worried, and once again, our thoughts are in that place. If they're being all over, we hear once again and we're worried. Are we Moitze Chen Be'enech? Am I Moitze Chen Be'enech? Do you love me? What do you think of me? And if you don't, then it's the Sakonis Nefoshes, like the Stipler wrote. I feel that I'm in danger. Each one of us knows that over the course of a year, we've done things in this marriage that are not appropriate. That we've more than flirted with the sitracha, with the other side. Each one of us who's honest and thinks in a real and honest way knows that there were times during the year of woe, Daddy, I'm not supposed to be here. Now there are some people who can never think about things like this. And whatever I'm talking about just goes right over or under or someplace. Can't understand this bichlal. Because there are some people who have never felt Hashem's love in their lives. Just as in the Moshul, there are some women who have never felt loved in their marriage. And there are some men who have never felt loved by their wives. And there are many, many single people in the world, in our world, who feel, I don't need that. I can live without that. Or people who are in marriages that are missing Shir Hashirim, but have to settle and accept that that's the reality of their lives. Ein chibur kaza, that there is no connection like that. That mushal is not real in their lives. And if the Moshul is not real in their lives, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said this in the name of Reb Sadia Gaon, that if that Moshul is of marriage, of love, of ahava, of cholos ahava, of chasen kan, that if that's not real, if it's never been real in a person's heart, in a person's life, then he can't truly understand the words, Nafshi Cholos Ahavasach, that my soul is sick for Hashem's love. He can't truly feel that unbelievable need to be beautiful, to be loved. Even that couple for whom the marriage over the years has deteriorated, but perhaps they have a point in time that they could look back to. In those early days of the marriage, of courting, of dating, and the marriage where the person felt, he felt and she felt, in a very strong and clear way, I have found what I'm looking for in life. I have found what I'm looking for in life. And we're going to go on this journey together. So even such a person who's already been living for years, perhaps, without feeling that, but can at least remember that, can transport himself or herself in one's mind, in one's memory, to that place of being b'chatzar beis hamelach hapnimis noichach beis hamelach. And maybe even after all of these years, and maybe even after all of the arguments and all of the fights, and maybe after all of the pounds that they've put on, and all of the chins that have accumulated, and all of the disappointments of what they thought would be and didn't turn out to be, but still it's possible for that couple to go back to that place and that time. And maybe by the anniversary, maybe on some special occasion, maybe when they're marrying off a kid, they can look at each other under the chuppah. And have once again a cheshik to go to the closet. To go to the closet and to try to take out a beautiful dress. A sincere davening, a sincere slichus, a real, real Rosh Hashanah, a real aseres yemei tshuva. To put on that old wedding gown, that levush malchus of the earlier years, even though maybe it doesn't fit anymore, and it's gotten a little bit worn out over time. But it's the anniversary. It's Rosh Hashanah. Can I share with you something very personal? My wife's going to be very upset. It's our anniversary tonight, Baruch Hashem. Seven years. Just joking, it's a lot more than 7 years. And all that I'm describing is about myself, putting on the weight and changing and everything. Although my wife has somehow remained as beautiful as she was when we got married. I'm gonna have to take care of this. I'm gonna have to stay in my room. Upstairs. So what happens at that moment? What happens at the moment of memory of Rosh Hashanah, which is Yom HaZikaron of remembering the anniversary of the beginning and being able to go back to that time? When the king sees Esther standing over there outside the royal chamber, the king, after all of the years and all of the difficulties and differences, the king is taken back to that time. And the king reaches out with the golden scepter. And Esther approaches and touches the scepter of the king. And the Baruch Shalom says to this Jew, Malach Esther Hamalka, Uma Bakashosach, Malach Esther Hamalka, it's Rosh Hashanah, Malach Esther Hamalka, tell me, what do you need? I'll give you half of the kingdom. I'll give you half of all that I have, everything. In yeshiva the other day, I told the chevra there, we had a febring in Chayel, and I told the chevra a maaseh from the Alter Rebbe, Susie and Elena. Chayel, as you know, is the birthday of the Alter Rebbe and the Baal Shem HaKadosh, just in the Marl's yard site. You know that the Alter Rebbe supported the Tsar in the war of Russia against France. That's very, very well known. The Baal Tanya saw Napoleon as being the embodiment of the other side, even though he knew that the Tsar was, Russia was a difficult place filled with anti-Semitism, pogroms and tsarists, but he understood that the choice was that Napoleon had to be destroyed. And because of that, he was considered to be public enemy number one by the French. And there was police and soldiers that were after the Alter Rebbe. And he was a fugitive. He had to run away. And he actually died while he was running. So he's buried in Hadich, in the middle of nowhere. The Alter Rebbe went with 60 caravans. They were leaving. And the 60 caravans, this journey was financed by a Jew, Rabbi Yitzhak Zelever, who was something of a little bit of a gvir, not a huge gvir, a bit of a rich person, but he loved the Rebbe. And the caravan consisted of the Rebbe and his family, some of the close Hasidim, and Rabbi Yitzhak Zelever and his Rebbetzin, and some their family. But it added up to a big group. And Rabbi Yitzhak Zelever had a chest that was filled with gold coins. And the coins were getting less and less and less. Because, of course, along the way, they had to bribe many, many, many people. And to pay for the food and everything else that was needed. And it happened that they came to a certain town. And they were resting in that place. And the Alter Rebbe was staying in a certain hotel, some achsanya, and Rabbi Yitzhak Zelever and his wife were staying in a nice room in the whatever hayat they had over there in that shtetl. And they're on the mirpeset. They're on the balcony, and she is giving him a mishaberuch. The Mishaberach was, this is absolutely ridiculous. You said that we're just going to take the Rebbe. You got 60 caravans, all of his mishpach, and these close chassidim, with close chassidim, like 50 or 60 of them. And we're going to spend every single penny that we have on this trip. And she's yelling it at him. She's giving it to him on this mirpeset. And he just is trying to go into the room to get out of her way. And she steps in her way. And he gave her a little bit of a push. It was on the second floor. She fell right over the mirpeset. Boom. She's lying there, mamish for dead, on the ground. Everybody comes to screaming and crying. The husband himself says, chayla, chayla. And he goes running down. She's like, Gosasis. She's finished. And everybody's standing there, they're crying, and someone says to him, Yitzchak, Yitzchak, go get the Rebbe, go get the Rebbe. So he runs with somebody to go get the Alter Rebbe. And he tells the Alter Rebbe, he tells him what happened. We had an argument in Chayla. It fell on the... So Alter Rebbe is like not rushing. And he puts on his coat, and he takes the shtetl. And he walks, and this Yitzchak is screaming, and he walks out with the Rebbe, and they go there to underneath the hotel, and there are Jews standing all around, crying and saying Tillum, and she's lying there, tight, dead. Stubber walks over, and he goes down all the way to this woman, and he says to Chayla, Machzik mit Nahush, don't act like a fool. Husbands and wives, sometimes they have arguments. Sometimes there are harsh words that pass between them. There's no reason for you to die. She opens her eyes. The women help her up. And she takes Rabbi Yitzchak, and the two of them walk off, the happy couple. They walk off. Let's not be fools. Over the course of the year, some things passed between us and Hashem, you know. There's some things that we did, kivyochel, everything he does is kelemuna in ovel. Everything he does is perfect, but there are things that we don't see as perfect. And there are many, many things that have hurt us over the year and the years. Let's try to hear the Alter Rebbe whispering into our ears. Stand up. You don't have to die. He does love you. Sometimes there are fights. Sometimes there are disagreements. It hurts. But he's waiting for you. And you're as beautiful as the day that you first stood on the Tehuppah. You're as beautiful to him as when you stood on the Tehuppah. It happened once that the Rebbe of Mendel Rimnover, the Abter of the Oiv Yisrael, and Rav Naftali Rapshitzer were sitting together. Now, the Oiv Yisrael, of course, was the oldest of them. He was already very sick. He was lying in bed. Rav Mendel Rimnover was younger, and the Rapshitzer was the youngest. He was a Talmud. All of a sudden, the Abter of the Oiv Yisrael turns to Rav Naftali Rapshitzer, and he has like a twinkle in his eye of the Oiv Yisrael. He's smiling and he says, Rapshitzer Rav, tell me what happened by Mincha Erev Yom Kippur. And the Oiv Yisrael, when he's asking this question, is smiling. Tell me, what happened by Mincha Erev Yom Kippur? So the Rapshitzer Rav, Rav Naftali Rapshitzer said, that last Erev Yom Kippur by Mincha, something strange happened. For quite a bit of time before Yom Kippur, the Rapshitzer said, in our area there were many, many women who were dying. Young women who were dying, especially in childbirth. Many women were dying. And there was a terrible gzeirah, and I was davening very, very hard against this gzeirah. And Mincha Erev Yom Kippur, instead of the regular Baal Tefillah who is getting ready to go up to Daven, some poyer, some peasant, some Jew from the village runs over and grabs the omelet. You ever see such a thing in your life? Everybody nodded yes. He runs over and he grabs the omelet. Mincha Erev Yom Kippur by the Rapshitzer. So this guy runs over and he grabs the omelet. So the Rapshitzer is telling this over to the Mendel Rimnover and the Oiv Yisrael. This guy grabs the omelet. Mincha Erev Yom Kippur. And the guys, of course, the Gaboim wanted to take him into, and the Rapshitzer says, Hanachle, Hanachle. The Rapshitzer says, I told him, leave him be, leave him be. It's okay. So he stands there, this guy, and everybody's davening. And they finish, and it comes time for Chazaras Hashatz. So this guy's Irvi, the Rapshitzer says, his Hebrew is not particularly good. He didn't spend time too long in Cheder. So when it comes time to the bracha of Baruch Aleinu Sashona Hazois, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Hakim Sashona Hazois, Baruch Nasein Hashanah Matoy V'Stavrocha, this Jew said the following, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Hakim Sashona Hazois, and he went on to, Uvarech Nishayseinu, Nishayseinu means, and please bless our wives, Uvarech Nishayseinu, Kanoshim Hatoy V'Stavrocha, Kanoshim Hatoy V'Stavrocha, not Kashonim Hatoy, but Kanoshim HaTovus, the Baruch. Bless all of our wives. Kilu, they're the best, and they are the best wives in the world. Kanoshim HaTovus, the Baruch. And he ended, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mevorach Kanoshim. We had a guy like that in the shtibu where I grew up. I'm not joking. He used to say every single time he used to always go through, because he had a yard side, this father-in-law, his mother-in-law, the cousin, the nephew, the niece, there's always something. And he comes to the, he used to always say, Mishan Umidbach La Tzadikim, that Hashem is the kitchen or the slaughterhouse of the Tzadikim. And every single time the Rebbe would say, Mailech, Miftach, and Ezok, Midbach, every time. Baruch Ad Hashem, Mevorach Hanosh. And Rav Tali Rapshitzer said, all of my davening didn't do anything. But when the Yid said those words, Mevorach Hanoshim, Hashem Yisbarach started laughing with all the Malachim Shemayim and said, good gezukt, he said a good thing. And all of the dying stopped. And all the sickness stopped. And we never had such a healthy year for our wives and for our daughters. Rebbein Shalom, a lot of years have passed. But take a look at us. Here we are. We're still Yonoshim Taifas. We're still Yonoshim Taifas. So we ask you for forgiveness again. And we're asking you it should be a year of Baruch Hashem Bevarach Hanoshim. That you should bench your kala, your wife, even though we're old and we've made a lot of mistakes over the years. If we hear 1 o'clock in the morning to say Slichis, and we're going to try our best to say all of the words in the Machzor, what we can, and to do what we can to do tshuva, to be better next year. So it should be such a year. Mavarach nishasenik anoshim hatavias baruch hatashem, mavarach anoshim the shnas gul of Yeshua, that we should all be nachtavim b'sefer mishal sadikim, gul hashem v'amitis mehemim in amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.